We've been reading together the first five books of the Old Testament from this edition of those books, Beginnings. And we are in Numbers. We're right in the middle. We read the first half of Numbers this past week. And as you discovered, if you've been reading with us, the numbers are there, certainly, but there's a lot of other things that happen in this book of Numbers. And so I've selected chapter 9, verses 15 through 23 for us to think about together this morning. So if you're reading from Beginnings, I invite you to turn to page 220, right at the bottom of the page. And if you're reading from your regular old Bible, then Numbers chapter 9, starting with verse 15. On the day the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered it. But from evening until morning, the cloud over the tabernacle looked like a pillar of fire. This was the regular pattern. At night, the cloud that covered the tabernacle had the appearance of fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from over the sacred tent, the people of Israel would break camp and follow it. And wherever the cloud settled, the people of Israel would set up camp. In this way, they traveled and camped at the Lord's command, wherever he told them to go. Then they remained in their camp as long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle. If the cloud remained over the tabernacle for a long time, the Israelites stayed and performed their duty to the Lord. Sometimes the cloud would stay over the tabernacle for only a few days. So the people would stay for only a few days as the Lord commanded. Then, at the Lord's command, they would break camp and move on. Sometimes the cloud stayed only overnight and lifted the next morning. But day or night, when the cloud lifted, the people broke camp and moved on. Whether the cloud stayed above the tabernacle for 2 days, a month, or a year, the people of Israel stayed in camp and did not move on. But as soon as it lifted, they broke camp and moved on. So they camped or traveled at the Lord's command, and they did whatever the Lord told them through Moses. Red lights flash ahead of you, and you come to a stop. They go out, and you creep forward. It's 5 p.m. on Beltline Road, or on the Santa Monica Freeway, where I grew up, or on I-5 through Portland, or the Eisenhower Expressway in Chicago. I'm pretty sure you've experienced it. Stop and go. That's what we call plodding along in heavy traffic, hoping that somewhere up ahead the road is clear. The good thing about stop and go on a roadway is those brake lights ahead of you. They make it pretty clear when it's time to stop and when it's time to step on the gas and move forward. Without signals like that, just think about it, or traffic lights or stop signs at intersections, driving would be chaos. We wouldn't know when to stop or when to go. My first impression of our text from Numbers 9 is that the children of Israel received pretty clear signs of when to stop and when to go as they traveled through the wilderness. The raising and lowering of that cloud over the tabernacle was as plain a signal as any red or green light you might see on the road. Whenever the cloud lifted up, it was time for them to get up and go. Wherever and whenever the cloud settled down, it was time for them to stop and make camp. What could be simpler? Read on to the next section there on page 221. You find God even commanded them to make silver trumpets to signal the people. The cloud lifting told them when it was time to go, and trumpet blasts directed how they did it, kept them in order as they set out from camp. God gave his people direction. Back in Exodus 13, at the bottom of page 104 in Beginnings, as Israel left Egypt, God sent a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire in front to lead them out into the wilderness, guiding them by day and by night. Now, years later, in Numbers, that direction has settled in to a regular and expected routine. That's what it said there, that the regular pattern, centered on God's presence in the tabernacle. The cloud and the fire were still there as constant indicators of when and where to go and when to stay. The presence of God in that cloud and fire was foreshadowed back in Genesis 15, as we read a few weeks ago in Beginnings on page 21, when God first made a covenant with Abraham. Abraham offered the Lord animal sacrifices cut in half and laid out on either side of a path. And human beings made covenants like that with each other, with the idea that they'd walk together through the middle, and that was, in a sense, calling down the wrath of heaven upon them to be cut apart like that if either broke the covenant. But something different happened for Abraham. What went between the halves of those carcasses was a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch. As the Lord predicted, that right there in that passage, the enslavement of Abraham's ancestors or descendants in Egypt, He also showed him the very signs by which God would lead them out, cloud and fire. When I read all this, I find myself wishing for that same sort of plain, clear direction for my own life, for our church. Sometimes when I'm wondering what to do next or our church council's wrestling with a difficult decision, it would be really nice to look out and see an obvious, distinct pillar of cloud or fire showing the way. As Christians, as I said to the kids, we believe that the Holy Spirit is our guide now. As we read in our gospel this morning from Mark 1, the Holy Spirit guided Jesus himself. We heard how the Spirit came down on him like a dove in his baptism, and then, immediately, the Holy Spirit flapped his wings at Jesus and drove him out into the wilderness, just like the cloud and fire led Israel out into the wilderness. The Israelites spent 40 years out there. Significantly, Jesus spent 40 days out there. But it was also plain, cloud or spirit, the direction was clear. They knew when to go and when to stop. I wish you and I could know that too. We do have some direction. As we remember every year at Pentecost, the Spirit came down on our Lord's church in flaming tongues of fire. And that Holy Spirit is given to every believer in Jesus, and that gift is shown and confirmed in baptism. He is here with us. The Spirit is here with us to guide us if we'll only listen to Him. But as you probably have known and experienced, it's not that simple, not that clear. Much of the time, it's hard to know if we're listening to the Spirit or to our own feelings or to the culture we live in. It's frequently pretty difficult to know if He is saying go or stop or whatever. Maybe the fault is with us. Maybe it should be clearer. I certainly know that sometimes I could do a better job of slowing down, praying, and listening for what the Spirit has to say before I head off in one direction or another. This season of Lent is partly about doing that, about letting the Spirit lead us into the wilderness with Jesus for 40 days. But I wonder if our own failure to seek and listen to God's guidance is the whole story about why it seems so unclear, so cloudy, if you will. So I'd like to share with you two thoughts that came to me this week about the children of Israel and the cloud and the fire, about their stopping and going there in the wilderness. The first is that maybe it was not quite as clear to them as this little bit of the story we read today makes it seem. When you look at the bigger picture, the whole narrative of Israel's exodus from Egypt and journey through the wilderness, you don't exactly get the impression of folks who were carefully listening to God and confident about what He was telling them. Instead, it's a story full of doubts, confusion, and rebellion. A story for which, if you and I didn't already know the ending, the outcome is pretty unclear. Maybe even those signals I compared to traffic lights in their simplicity and clarity, the cloud and the fire, weren't as obvious as we might think. Look at what it says there on the top of page 221, starting with what's traditionally verse 20. Sometimes the cloud would stay over the tabernacle for only a few days, and then skipping on, sometimes the cloud stayed only overnight, and then on, whether the cloud stayed above the tabernacle for 2 days, a month, or a year, the people of Israel stayed in camp and did not move on. Now, let's think about that a bit, about how it might feel in practice. Put yourself in their shoes or sandals. You're an Israelite. You know the drill. The cloud goes up and you break camp and go. The cloud settles down and stays and you make camp and stay. But suppose the cloud does hang in there for a year, like we're told it sometimes did. Suppose that the last time, just before this, it only remained for a few days. Now, as that year happened, wouldn't you start to wonder? Maybe after just a couple of weeks? Wouldn't you really start to wonder after a couple of months? Maybe we got this wrong. Maybe we don't understand the signals after all. Maybe we missed something. Maybe we're not right with God and He isn't communicating with us anymore. Maybe this whole business is a big mistake. And those feelings, those questions, aren't going to get quickly resolved. That confusion and doubt goes on and on for months and months until finally, one day, the cloud lifts and you're on the march again. That kind of doubt and lack of clarity over the long stops sounds a little bit more like what my spiritual life feels like, a little bit more like maybe what most of us experience of the Holy Spirit's guidance. It's just not always clear, and maybe it's not supposed to be. Maybe those long periods without any clear direction are about learning something else, about learning to trust God in the wilderness when we aren't getting any signals, aren't hearing His voice directing us on to the next step in the journey. Which brings me to the second thought about all this, about Israel stopping and going in the wilderness and you and I stopping and going through our own lives. It seems to me that life happens during the stopping, not during the going. We've often heard it said that life is in the journey or something like that. But maybe that's wrong. Think about the logistics of it all for Israel. They had to spend more time stopped than they spent walking through the deserts and the valleys and the hills. Look at what it says in verse 19, about a quarter of the way down on page 221. If the cloud remained over the tabernacle for a long time, the Israelites stayed and performed their duties to the Lord. It was while they were stopped that they did all the things God had commanded them, about offering sacrifices, worshiping, purifying themselves. It didn't happen on the road, it happened in camp when they were stopped. Look at Jesus' temptation again, His victory over Satan. It didn't happen while He was walking out to the wilderness, it happened while He stayed out there for 40 days. While He was stopped there, waiting for the Spirit, for God to show Him what He was supposed to do next. I submit to you that most of our real life with God happens when we are stopped somewhere, not when we are going somewhere. Our problem is that we're not very comfortable with stopping. We all hate sitting trapped in our cars waiting for traffic to clear, or for the train or whatever is forcing us to stop. We really have believed that life is a journey when, or that life is in the journey, when it's actually not. We get uncomfortable when we don't see the signal to move on, when we can't discern when or where to go next. We say things like we're stuck or trapped or bogged down when it feels like we aren't going anywhere. And we are missing the signal that God is right here, that the cloud has settled down, and He expects us to stay put and perform our duty to Him and be with Him right where we are at that time. Let me sadly say to you that some of the unhappiest people I've encountered in over 30 years of pastoral ministry are folks that never quite settle down. They're always looking for the next business deal which will make them rich, or searching for the soulmate who will bring them true love. They can even be constantly seeking the next step in spiritual life which will bring them truly close to God this time. I ache for those restless souls. They never seem to be able to let themselves stop and camp for a while where God has brought them to that point. They're always anxiously looking for the cloud to lift and the opportunity to move on to whatever's next. I don't think that God means for His people to live that way. I don't think that's how Israel actually lived in the wilderness. Most of our life with God happens in camp, not on the road. The cloud of His presence settles down to be with us as we settle down to stay a while and be with Him. We talk sometimes about our 40-day journey during Lent. But maybe we need to look again, as I said, at Jesus' 40 days and realize that it wasn't really a journey for Him. Jesus went out, but then He stopped and stayed where He was to wait for God, to be with God. Now, please don't get me wrong. I may be getting it wrong, possibly, maybe misleading you a bit, because I typically like staying put. I'll admit that. After moving around several times in the first half of my life, I've stayed here with this church in this place for 25 years. But I know for sure that that's not exactly what God wants for everyone, that it may not be the signals or guidance that He wants to give to you. As the text says about Israel staying for a year, we all need to be ready and willing to move on when God says it's time. Stop and go. Stop or go. All according to the Lord's direction, by the Spirit's leading. And yet I believe that it's not always going to be clear. In fact, it's not always going to be clear most of the time. If God brings you or I to settle down for a long stay, we will have to wonder, like I think those Israelites must have now and then, if it's time to go. If God signals us to get up and go somewhere, then we'll be left wondering if we got it right or if we should have stayed. The cloud guiding us will often be cloudy. The beauty is that looking back, we will see it all much more clearly. The going and the stopping will come into focus, and we will know what God was up to, why He had us stop here or go there. It'll be uncertain and unclear at the time, but when we finally and forever stop and stay with God, it will be plain and bright as the sun. Browsing this week through David Bentley Hart's The Story of Christianity, I came across a story from church history that I didn't know. It's about how Christianity came to Ethiopia in the early 4th century, that's the 300s. Two brothers, Frumentius and Odysseus, were Christian merchants from Tyre on the Mediterranean. They got on a ship thinking they were headed for India to do some business there. But their ship failed and stopped in the Red Sea off the coast of East Africa. They made it to shore in Ethiopia, where they were taken captive and sold to the royal house as servants. They did not go where they expected, and they stopped where they did not expect. Odysseus became cupbearer to the king of Ethiopia, and Frumentius was made the tutor of the king's son, the crown prince, Azanus. When the king died and Azanus took the throne, that young man took to heart what he had learned from Frumentius, and his whole household converted to Christianity. The two brothers probably expected then to stay there in the royal palace the rest of their lives. But Azanus sent Odysseus home to Tyre and sent Frumentius to Alexandria to ask the patriarch to appoint a Christian bishop for Ethiopia. Frumentius may have wanted to go home like his brother after he arranged getting a bishop for Ethiopia, But God had a different plan. The patriarch turned that businessman into a bishop and sent him back to Ethiopia to evangelize that nation and guide the new church. Frumentius stayed there the rest of his life. He refused to go when a Roman emperor tried to replace him with an heretical bishop. His life was uncertain and confusing at several points, but God showed Frumentius when to go and when to stop and stay. That's how I think it is for all of us. Clear signals are nice. Sometimes we get them, like Israel had the cloud and the fire in the wilderness. Much of the time, though, God simply wants us to wait and trust and depend on His Spirit to guide us when the time is right, whether He's ready for us to make a move or wants us to stay somewhere a while longer. Mostly, we will find His presence, His Spirit, hovering in one place, calling us to be faithful and do our duty to God and those around us right there. As long as we are ready to go, if He signals, if He calls, then that is normal. That is good. As we'll read together this year, the aim of Israel's story was to stop, to stay in one place in the land of Canaan, in the Promised Land. As you will read from Numbers this week, even before they got there, God was helping them plan for settling down, for dividing up the land between the tribes, for stopping and staying. The aim of our story as believers in Christ is to stop and to stay as well. Those silver trumpets signaled the people of Israel when it was time to get up and go. The New Testament teaches us that a trumpet will also be the signal for you and I to get up and go for the last time. When we hear it sound, then God will raise us all up to meet Jesus in the air. But we won't stay there. He will lead us in glory back to this earth, which will be made over into the final, complete, and perfect promised land it was meant to be, the kingdom of God. All our traveling will be over. There will be no more cloud because we'll see Him clearly, and we will be blessed to stop and stay forever with our Lord. Amen.